This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good afternoon. I'm Roshan Kunnison, and welcome to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today we're exploring the psychology of entrepreneurship with Professor Michael Fraser. He is the Professor of Management at the Asia School of Business here in KL. The professor recently won the renowned Global Award for Entrepreneurship Research from the Swedish Entrepreneurship Forum, and this was established back in 1996 and celebrates outstanding research that has significantly influenced the field. Recognizing Professor Fraser's work and substantial contributions to psychology in entrepreneurship theory, small business development, and entrepreneurship training. Now, today, of course, we're going to be focusing on one of his papers, The Psychology of Entrepreneurship, Action and Process, diving into the underlying psychological factors that drive entrepreneurial success and the practical implications for aspiring entrepreneurs and an aspiring entrepreneurial ecosystem. And a lot of things we'll be diving into, including the action theory process model of entrepreneurship, which I'm actually quite curious to dive into. If you have any thoughts, any questions you want to ask the professor, please get in touch over on our U-Mobile number. That's 018-789-8899. Professor Fraser, welcome to the studio. How are you doing?
I am very good. Thank you so much.
Very interesting area of focus that you have, Professor. You focused on a few things, of course. One that caught my attention was the psychology of entrepreneurship. Tell us a little bit about what drew you to this particular area of study.
Okay, at one point in time, I actually thought, what's the use of having a psychologist look at poverty? I was in Africa, I was looking at issues of poverty, and I was thinking, what can I contribute to reduction of poverty? Mm-hmm. And I did many different things. I checked many different avenues, but the most clearest one was actually to enhance entrepreneurial skills, knowledge, approaches, etc. Because that's the way out of poverty in many emerging countries. And so I concentrated on that to some extent and became an entrepreneurship researcher. I wasn't before.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was the necessary tool to kind of investigate how you elevate economies, basically. You know, when we think of entrepreneurship, Professor, today, a lot of times it's kind of monopolized by the startup ecosystem and all of this. But a lot of times when we talk about enabling entrepreneurship at the level that you're talking about here, it's much smaller in scale, is it not?
It is smaller in scale, but let me say in general, I have a very general view of entrepreneurship. Everything where you do something new, where you actually develop a new product, a new orientation, also where you develop some new organizing of some sort, mm-hmm. and that may be a new organization, but it may also be a new way of organizing. Anytime you do that, you're entrepreneurial, right, in my mind. And so I think of that as a very generic kind of approach. So you can even, as a professor, be entrepreneurial.
so it's the behavior, it's the skill set underlying it, not necessarily the quote-unquote job title that you are carrying around. So a key focus of your paper, right? So we've got that the psychology of entrepreneurship, action and process. And as the name suggests, the key focus is on action and process. Could you tell us a little bit about the thought process before starting work on this paper? Like, what was the hypothesis? What were you thinking about?
Yeah. Thank you so much for that question. But let me just start on what the usual perspective is.
Sure.
Usually people say, tell us about personality. Can everyone be an entrepreneur? Huh. And so that was also the first question that we did attempt to answer, and that we did answer it. And when I started doing research on entrepreneurship, I noticed that people did not really think about personality. And so we showed that personality indeed matters. But then I said to myself, but really and truly, I want to study entrepreneurship so that I can change things. Now, once you want to change things, then personality is not the point of entry. When you want to start changing personality, usually it's going to be very difficult. So let me tell you, in general, you know, you're not going to change anybody's personality very quickly. Okay. So therefore, we thought, let's go nearer to that stuff that actually differentiates an entrepreneur from a non-entrepreneur. And that is highly active actions. It sounds very strange to talk about active actions, but you can be reactive in your actions. Somebody says something, you react to it. That's a reactive action. Or you can be active in your action by saying, I want to determine how this works. And I want to determine how the conversation goes, or I want to determine what kind of products I am going to produce and in which way I am producing that, and the way I actually deal with life in general. So this is my approach,
right,
that I say, let's look at these kinds of things that really differentiate the entrepreneur from the non-entrepreneur. And that's why I'm so interested in action characteristics.
Okay. Yeah? So could you talk to us about how those connect then? Because I know you made a point there that the action is where the difference between the non-entrepreneur and the entrepreneur, correct?
Right. So let's just assume, I mean, just an example, okay? I often go to work and I start answering emails. Really reactive, okay? So much better if I go to work and I say on the way to work, I want to finish, let's say, this article. I want to prepare this discussion that we are having right now. And then I start to be active a bit more. And then I can say, what do I really want to say? What do I really, which point do I want to get across in the interview? For example, right now, mm-hmm. I want to get across that we are often not focusing on actions enough. We are focusing on everything before that. You know, do you have the right beliefs? Do you think that things are good for you? You know, all of that matters, of course. But the most important issue is, will you actually drive the process by which you produce services, produce products, the way you're producing things, the way you're doing things, will you drive that? And that's what entrepreneurs do. And that's why I'm concentrating on that. And the nice thing about that is you can change it.
That is very interesting. And I guess a really great explanation of what an entrepreneur is, right? Because today we get distracted by headlines and big business people, when really the auntie across the street who is acting on her ability to cook to then sell that is entrepreneurship in itself.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we take that for granted sometimes.
Yeah. So recently I went by an auntie like that and she said, try this. That's proactive. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And I said, oh, I didn't want to try that, but I want something else. And then she said, oh, it's okay. I give it to you, but try a little bit of it. So the point is she did not immediately take back and go back. She started one more time. Okay, that was good enough in that situation. So the point is, she behaved entrepreneurial in that situation. Now, she may not behave entrepreneurial all the time. So that's the important issue. An entrepreneur is not just what an entrepreneur does, but it can also be more or less entrepreneurial. And we have this concept for it that's called personal initiative. And that sounds also awful. But what we say it is, it's self-starting. It is a bit more future-oriented. So the auntie was saying, he may come by again. Maybe he lives here. Maybe he's going to buy the kind of thing that I really would like him to taste. So that's future-oriented. And you're going to be a little more overcoming barriers. So overcoming barriers, the auntie again did it. She said, try one more time. You know, it's really just this tiny little bit. So the point is then, in general, this is entrepreneurial. Now, if you want to look at the Bill Gates of the world, you will see that they have done exactly that. Mm. And they have done that consistently. And they also had damn luck, mm-hmm. at the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why the consistency of their approaches worked so well. And what we find is if people show personal initiative a lot, they are more innovative. They actually produce innovations that are more useful. They actually put those innovations into the market and think of innovative processes by which they can push it into the market. And they don't give up. Mm. And it's not something that they just do because the next door entrepreneur does the same thing.
Professor, we have more to get into, of course, but first a few messages that we need to dive into. Folks, you've been listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And today I'm exploring the psychology of entrepreneurship with Professor Michael Fraser. He's a professor of management at the Asia School of Business. I'm Roshan Gunnison. We'll be back in just a bit. So keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, and you're now listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. I'm Roshan Gunnison, and today we're exploring the psychology of entrepreneurship and the underlying psychological factors that drive entrepreneurial success with Professor Michael Fraser. He is the Professor of Management at the Asia School of Business and has written a paper called The Psychology of Entrepreneurship, Action and Process. Earlier, the professor was talking to us about how entrepreneurship really comes down to the actions and the behaviors shown by individuals, and not so much about the labels and the titles that we attribute to people and what they're doing. So you can be entrepreneurial even though you are not a quote-unquote entrepreneur. Professor, in that paper I mentioned there, you've got this this concept called the action theory process model of entrepreneurship. Could you break that down for us? What does that entail? How does that relate to the research and, I guess, the findings from that research?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about process first. So as you said in the introduction just now, ever-changing. The point is, entrepreneurship is ever changing. It's never stable. You cannot go from here to now to tomorrow without any changes to be expected whatsoever. So there's an ever changing process. So that's the first thing. So we look at processes much more when you actually look at entrepreneurship. Now, processes are, of course, over time. Yeah? And so you always have to look at where are you at as an entrepreneur? So, you know, sometimes you're at the starting phase. Sometimes you're in an intermediate phase where you actually want to make sure that you make profits. And then you're maybe in a phase where you want to push or where you don't want to push. That depends very much on you as an entrepreneur. Sometimes you want to not grow because you're perfectly happy with what you have. And sometimes you want to grow. And then that is another area of process. But even when you want to stand still, you cannot stand still. You have to run to be able to stand still in the kind of environment in which you are, because you're in an environment where there's competition, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the process. Now, there is a certain second part of the process. And the second part of the process is the action itself. Now, what do you need to act? For the action, you need some kind of goal. You need to know where you are going to. You need some kind of knowledge about the environment in which you're acting. You need some kind of plan of, I go in this direction rather than in this direction. So direction A may be the first thought, but then you thought A, maybe B, maybe a bit better. So I go in the direction B. Planning itself needs to be changed all the time because plans don't work out often. So you need to adjust your plans. You need to fall back on a plan B. So don't just plan one thing. Plan also if that plan does not work out. What do you do then? Mm. Now, again, people always say, doesn't that make you rigid? It doesn't make you rigid if you have a plan B. It only makes you rigid if there's only one way to do it. And that's, of course, not what I try to tell people. So that's the set. So we have a goal, we have the environment in which we are operating and acting, and we have a plan of how to get to the goal. And now we come to the point of feedback. Feedback are two processes. One process is that I myself look at myself and I say, am I doing right or am I not doing right? Did this work well? Was my answer clear? For example, right now. That's my own feedback. Mm. But then I also want feedback from others. So I look at you when you ask questions and I see whether you nod or not nod, or whether you become, whether your face tells me a question mark.
Yeah.
So that's feedback from the outside. At the end of what I have done, I will get feedback also, possibly. So, for example, when I write a paper, which takes, of course, not just a few hours, but let's say a year, then I sometimes get feedback by people telling me that was useful. Mm. Or nobody takes notice of it, then I know it wasn't useful. Yeah? So feedback is also a part of this process. And everything goes back and forth. So we can never stand still at each one of those points. So this is what I call an action. Now, once I know that, I can say, so which type of processing of goals is actually more active than another goal? So a goal that is bigger, that is more ambitious, is more active than a goal that is less ambitious. Mm-hmm. So I can push ambition a bit. Yeah? I can do that for myself. And when we train people, I can push ambition in people. The second one is, do I know the environment? Again, some people say, I know the environment because I walk in it, I drive in it, I talk to people around it, etc. But have you really gotten to know the environment? Mm. Have you checked what your competitors are worrying about? Have you checked what they are doing that doesn't work? That's even more important than what works. Have you checked what kind of things people say I would need but don't get? So that's all in the environment. So more proactive means I've asked more questions. And then I can also do the same thing with plans. I can have an active or not so active plan, active or not so active feedback processing. You get it? So I look at each one of those factors and I ask the question, how can... So this gives me an analytical tool to say, this behavior is really entrepreneurial on this and this and this side, not so on that and that and that side. And then I can intervene and can actually train people to be better entrepreneurs.
So the model here is for an ability to assess entrepreneurial tendencies and capability?
Yes, it is, and to change.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that change specifically, there is the feedback component, I presume, is the most crucial part.
Not only. No, every one of these. I don't want to say this is the only thing. Mm. Feedback is very important because people forget that feedback processing also is active.
Yeah.
You can't just wait for feedback and you don't get it. Yeah. I mean, if you run a restaurant, you get feedback. You know, the food that goes back is feedback. You can actively determine what is really coming back, and you can proactively say, throw it in the garbage. So these are two ways to be using the same feedback in different ways. And of course, you learn a whole lot more when you actively check. And you know, often people ask at the end, were you satisfied? And then the answer is, yeah. But if you say, was there anything that I could have done better? I wish you would tell me. It would be very nice of you if you would. And then you get maybe feedback that is much more useful. So again, every part of the whole process can be more or less actively developed. And At the same time, I get problems at no end for each one of those areas. And then I have to deal with the problems, overcoming barriers, I call it. Do you get it?
Yeah. The active component seems to be, the action component is the, I guess, the magnitude. It's kind of like the magnitude element of it, right? You've got the process of those different components you mentioned earlier, but whether it is entrepreneurial or not, the action is really what defines
that's
that
exactly
ultimately.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're inactive, then it's not really very entrepreneurial and all of that doesn't really matter.
Right.
But if
right.
you are active and proactive, and the, like the auntie example earlier, she's going out and she's asking you to taste the sample of the food she's got. And from there, she can either, she's got her process in place, but also she can tweak the process. Oh, it didn't work this time. How do I then, you know, make him try it later so that, you know, he eventually buys one of the snacks I'm selling.
Exactly here. Right, yeah. And that can be done at any level of an organization. Mm-hmm. It can be done at any level of entrepreneurial, of where you stand as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So, and the important thing here is, and you pointed that out before, is it's not just the guys who become the biggies, the Air Asia owner. Yeah? That's, of course, fantastic. So this is amazing. But it's also the guys who sort of say, I want to have a steady income, but I also am absolutely happy to have 3, 4, 5, or maybe 10 employees. I don't want to have 100 or 500 or 500,000. So the point then is that's also part of your action orientation. You can develop, and that's the nice part about entrepreneurship. You can sort of say, this is good enough for me. I don't need to go beyond that. Or you can say, I want to push and push and push. And of course, we would say, push a little more. Okay.
So the action orientation here is one element, and it ties back to the model. But you also do look at the psychology perspective as well, right? And that whether you inherently push or not is also psychological in nature. Could you talk to us a little bit about what your research has, what your research tells us about the psychological factors involved in the success, or what influences a successful entrepreneur, or even just an entrepreneurship in general?
Yeah. Okay. In a way, of course, it's very much tied to what I was talking about.
Back
I'm an action theorist.
Okay.
So I believe that the psychology of action is really an important part. But of course, I know that psychology of action is not just action characteristics. Mm-hmm. It's also action characteristics. So there's, of course, lots of stuff that goes that is prior to action characters, my orientations, whether I believe that I can actually change things or whether I feel that things are pretty much changed by others for me. Whether I have locus of control, we call it. Is it me who controls things, or is it others or destiny that controls me?
Right.
Yeah? So that's one thing, of course, that matters. The belief that I can do things, that I can actually perform an action, versus I believe that I cannot perform a certain action. That, of course, is prior to some of these action characteristics. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it matters. Yeah? The type of strategy you're using for your company can be either in the direction of always new stuff versus not always new stuff. So innovation orientation, a strong one. And, of course, that helps. Particular, by the way, in Asia. Mm-hmm. And so each one of those actions that you are doing is, of course, tied to what is going prior into your thinking. Yeah? So I'm not arguing that this is unimportant. And indeed, it is very important. And we can show that it is highly important. And those factors that I just described, entrepreneurial orientation, with its factors of being somewhat competitive and aggressive in that entrepreneurial orientation, of being oriented towards innovativeness, entrepreneurial orientation, and being always on the ball. All these kinds of factors are, of course, structural, sort of strategic orientations that are important as an entrepreneur. And it matters, and it's highly correlated with success. Now, the only thing that I want to emphasize is success is many things. Success is a something in the very beginning that you actually start something. Success in the intermediate part is that you actually make a little bit of profit and that you can maybe live off it. And success later on is indeed often growth. But there's a second part of success, and that is, how do I feel about it? How is my well-being?
Right.
Do I like it? And there's so much in entrepreneurship that is so good. So when I talk to entrepreneurs and I ask them, would you take a job that pays 10 or 20% more than what you're currently getting as an entrepreneur? They usually say, oh, no. I don't want a boss. You know, I like to be the boss myself. And by the way, this is also something that even the biggies among the entrepreneurs are often worried about. Is the boss then the bank? You know, where you got the money from? Is the boss the business angel who helps you but also interferes a bit too much, et cetera, et cetera? All of that is part of the entrepreneurial spiel and the entrepreneurial situation that I'm in. And it's so nice to be able to actively say, I'm not going to have that. I'm not going to have somebody who tells me. Oh, I need to learn a lot. I'm glad to have somebody helps me all the time. So there are two, you know,
mentalities.
But this is you who decides. It's not somebody else who decides. And that's the nice thing about entrepreneurship, of course, that you have much more decision-making power.
So that proactive decision, whether it's, I don't want someone to lead me, I want to do it myself.
Right.
Or even the fact that I know, at this point, I want someone else to be the boss, because, or someone to lead, or someone to work. That can be entrepreneurial in itself, right? You're making that decision to do
absolutely.
So. Then maybe later on you make a new decision that, okay, I've learned enough, I can go and do something else.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah. Professor, we've got to go into another break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the common misconceptions, I think, that you see in the world of entrepreneurship. I think that'd be quite interesting to dive into. Folks, you're listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business, from the headlines to the bottom line. And today, we're exploring the psychology of entrepreneurship with Professor Michael Fraser. He is the Professor of Management at the Asia School of Business. I'm Roshan Gunderson. We'll be back after a few messages, so keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Backing female ministers. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, and you're now listening to Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business, from the headlines to the bottom line. I'm Roshan Gunderson, and today we're exploring the psychology of entrepreneurship and the underlying factors that drive entrepreneurial success with Professor Michael Fraser. He's a professor of management at the Asia School of Business, and has in the past authored a paper titled The Psychology of Entrepreneurship and Action and Process. More recently, of course, the professor won the, let me look at my notes again, I've lost it, there we go, won the Global Award for Entrepreneurship Research from the renowned Swedish Entrepreneurship Forum. This is a award set up back in 1996 that celebrates outstanding research that has significantly influenced the respective field, which recognizes the professor's work and substantial contributions to psychology and entrepreneurship theory, small business development, and entrepreneurship training. Very much in line with the conversation that we've been having today so far, Professor. We were joking in the break that this feels a lot like I'm back in business school right now, and I'm really thoroughly enjoying it, because you have a few lecturers in your life that you can feel the passion in what they do and the research that they're doing, and the information that they're trying to pass on to you. And I'm pretty sure the listeners feel the same way. As we come to the close of the conversation, I want to talk a little bit about some of the common misconceptions that or myths about entrepreneurship that that you have seen in your own research that you'd like to and that your research has been trying to address, perhaps. Like, what do you see as some of the common misconceptions that we have, and how do we deal with these misconceptions, do you think?
Yeah, thank you so much. This is such a wonderful discussion that we're having. And common misconceptions, I think the most common misconception that I have come across is that people say you have to be a natural to be an entrepreneur. So you have to be born to be an entrepreneur. You cannot learn it. And there's, as usual, a bit of truth in there. Mm-hmm. So yes, there are, of course, things that are inborn. Yeah, and we know that that can have an influence on how you are an entrepreneur. But I always argue that this is something that can be managed rather than that's destiny. So you can, again, this is the active orientation. Yeah? You can see yourself in a certain personality and you can say, I'm not that guy that goes out, for example, and talks to 1,000 people and peddles my wares. I am actually working at home and I like to tinker on some things. You know, there's one entrepreneur in Germany who developed something for his fish, aquarium fish.
Okay.
Some food that was better than other food. Huh? And he had no interest whatsoever to be an entrepreneur. People forced him because they wanted that stuff from him because it was so good for the aquarium fish. And he has now 90% of the aquarium fish market,
wow.
Supply market, because he was pushed by others go into the entrepreneurship. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So the point that I want to make is the way that you go is so different in different sections, in different situations. And of course, this guy needed somebody who would push him along again. He needed a marketing person. He needed somebody who would say, now let's go for the thousands of customers, not for the two or three that we currently have, etc. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So I am against everyone who sort of says there's only one way to do it. This is nonsense. There are always many ways. And of course, that's why I'm teaching the active approach to people. So because that is useful in any case, because I can actively cope with myself, actively manage myself, also by getting other people involved who are good at something that I'm not good at. And I can be actively concentrating on what I personally want to do and most likely are able to do well, etc. So this is such a wonderful general concept that I like that. But let me come to one aspect that we haven't talked about mm-hmm. before, and that's the emotional part. So we have talked about the motivation. We have talked about motivation can be, of course, I need to be entrepreneur, I need to get money.
Yeah. Yeah?
Or the motivation can be, I have an idea that is so much better than in fintech than anybody else has. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And I want to make sure that that's actually out there. And it can also be a motivation where somebody tells me, hey, your things are so great. Can you please do it for others, you know? And there are many people who have social motivations and want to employ people who have problems. So there's often a social component of entrepreneurship as well in many countries that I have observed. Okay, so, but one part, so motivation is part, the ideas that we have, the cognition is one part, but also the emotions that we have. So to be socially motivated, to be passionate about starting something, to be passionate about a product, an idea, etc. All that kind of stuff is also extremely important for entrepreneurship. And so I want everyone to say there are many good ways to go into entrepreneurship, to be a good entrepreneur, and there's no one good way. And so whenever people tell me, I only talk to people who make a billion, you know, I say, what the hell? Are you not interested in, you know, that lady who is selling on the streets? Yeah. Are you really not interested in that? Yeah. At the same time, if somebody tells me I'm only interested, I only look at the people at the street, then I say, okay, think of the bigger ones as well. And mm-hmm. maybe there's somebody on the street who can do bigger.
Professor, as we come to the close in this conversation then, I wanted to ask you about, you know, practical ways that, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs who are listening to this can harness everything we've talked about so far, right? It's been a very wide-ranging conversation over the last 48 minutes. What are some key practical ways? I know I'm putting you in a little bit of a spot here as well, but what are some practical ways that aspiring entrepreneurs can harness what we've talked about?
Well, sorry to be a bit of a repeat here. the biggest way is actually to never, ever give up mm-hmm. and to never, ever believe that you have all the answers yourself. So a bit of humbleness helps you as well. And to always ask the question, how can I actually be an active participant in the economic endeavor of a country? And that I can be on any level, and it can be also on the level of the lowest level, as well as on the highest level. And in a way, then, I think the entrepreneurship is such a, that's the wonderful part of it. Mm. It's such a wide issue. And at the same time, it comes down to relatively specific actions that people have to show to actually be an entrepreneur.
Professor, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Thank you so much for your time and your insights.
Thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
Folks, I've been speaking with Professor Michael Fraser. He is the Professor of Management at the Asia School of Business. And this has been Enterprise Explores, the show where we help you navigate the ever-changing universe of business from the headlines to the bottom line. And of course, if you missed any part of this conversation, you can catch the podcast on the BFM app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just look up Enterprise Explores. Looking ahead, we've got the Breakfast Grill replay that's happening after the 1 p.m. news bulletin. And today, the Morning Run speaks with Manu Bhaskaran, CEO of Sentinel Asia Advisors, and they will be sharing his views on the risks and opportunities in the region's key markets for the year and how the ongoing geopolitical tensions are impacting the region's economies. I'm Roshan Kanasan. This has been Enterprise Explores. Keep it here to BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.